You're just wrong all over. I'd like to speak from two familiar scriptures. They'll be 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and the 4th verse. Then in Ephesians 6, starting at 10 and 13. I'd just like to talk to you for a few minutes about this subject. Me too. Me too. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, let your word go through and cut through the bone and marrow of our life, causing us to be the men and women that you would have us to be today. Let it settle in our heart so it'll settle in our mind. Let us understand the word today that we might stand under the word today. God, that you would cause us to be the image of Christ in the world today. Let us choose conviction over culture so that our life would magnify you. Take the things that are in our life that would separate us from being all that you would have us to be and have us focus on you. Knowledge is nice, but we ask for your wisdom today as this word dwells in our heart and we leave this place transformed. Heal, save, and deliver. Set free and help in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Me too. Me too. 2 Chronicles, the 7th through the 4th verse. It's a familiar passage of scripture. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their lands. Every time we're in trouble, it seems that the church will pull out that scripture. And it's a good scripture. It asks us to do 4 things, then God will do 3 things. It's a good scripture. It's a scripture that can either confuse us or convict us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Stop. Then. Stop. Then. Stop. Then. Will they hear from heaven? I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. So I ask myself, well, the Holy Spirit asked me to ask myself, what does that look like? What does that look like? What does humbling myself look like? What does it look like when I'm really praying? What does it look like when I'm seeking God's face? What does it look like when I'm turning from my wicked ways? So there are several ways for a situation to change. And one of the ways of any situation that you're in can change is that you change. So many times we're looking for everybody else to change. But when you change, the whole situation changes. When you look at the situation differently, it will change. We might not notice the change. It might not be the change that we want, but it will change. What if the world found out that Christians, Christ followers, were people just like them who had found the truth, the life, and the way? I would like this scripture is familiar, but if we began to see that in our lives, then we could get to the then. Anybody seen bad things on the news lately or heard bad things? I just want to make sure that y'all from this planet, okay? and you scratch your head and you say, God, I wonder why. And I'm saying that, and I've read the last chapter of the book, and I know that he wins, and I know what's going to happen and stuff, but God, I read it, but I really don't want to see it, and I really don't want to be in it. It's a good story. Church gets raptured, pre, mid, post, whatever you want. And Jesus comes back, because he's coming back. Amen? Do you believe that? Well, if he's coming back, hell's going to have to break loose first. So even when we humble ourselves and we pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, we're still going to be in the world, but not of the world. And we're going to see these things. Our response to that determines how we enjoy today. Because I don't know about you, all I have is today. Tomorrow is not promised. Today. So if the church, you and me, started responding to people with a me too attitude, because there's some me toos all over this church today. People are going through things that you've experienced. And it's interesting when we don't say, me too. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody tells you something and they don't look like what they've been through? And it's the same thing that you've been through, but you don't say anything because you don't want people to be, well, know your business. But a simple me too can set the captive free. Just a me too. This isn't deep. I'm sorry. But it's just a simple me too can set the captive free. So I was with a little old lady who sits in a wheelchair right there. And we were doing something, and she said, Floyd, how's your cancer? Stop. You know how you get those stops in your life and your wheels start turning? I said, no, Cole, I don't want to tell everybody how's my cancer and stuff like that. Ask me, how's my weight? Why your hair look like that? But it's a me too moment. Because when they told me that I had cancer, I joined the fraternity of people who are either struggling with cancer, who've had it, who've been healed, who've died. It's a me too moment. I had to embrace that and say, you know what, people are going to just blurt that out now. So listen, roll with it. Me too. Because people have to know how to walk through what they're in. How many times don't we help people walk through what they're in because we've been through it? And we just can't get to that point where we can say, I'm waiting. I'll hold you here all day till you talk back to me. So we get to the point where we can say, me too. The Bible talks about that. For all have and fallen short of the glory of. So when we meet somebody who we think is in sin, we can say, I told you this be easy. Me too. So that kind of helps you to see how 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse works, because the first thing it tells us to do is humble ourselves. How does that look? Well, for me, it's just as simple as this. Shut up. If I close my mouth, sometimes, when I can think about it, peace will happen. But if I open my yap and start talking the way Floyd wants to talk, all hell will break loose, I promise. So humility is strength under restraint. How many times have you been in situations where you said, I have to have my way, I want the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the 19th Amendment right, and I can do whatever I want to do? But it was more expedient for you just to be that example of Christ and shut your mouth. That's humility to me. When I know that somebody can say something and they have the knowledge base to say it, but they have the wisdom not to say it. So that's one thing. And praying. How many times have you gone to God with a list of stuff? The same old stuff. And not thanked him for the way it is. Because I believe the first step to a real healthy relationship with God is to say, thank you for the way it is. Now, some people might say, well, Floyd, do you thank him for cancer? Not really. But yeah, I thank him because they caught it. I thank him because there's a catalog of cures. I thank him, and you are going to really get messed up because this is humility. I thank him for Blue Cross and Blue Shield. I thank him for the premiums I can pay. I thank him for the super bill that comes in the mail that I'm paying $5 on every month. I thank him because I'm complaining in comfort. Because most people in the world don't have the problem and the answers that I have. So my first thing is, God, heal me. But I thank you for being able to go through this here at this particular time. I've changed my attitude. I'm trying to see how this 2 Chronicles 4th chapter, 7th chapter and 14th verse work. Seek God's face. Have you ever just been quiet and said, you know what, I'm going to take this time to seek God's face and for him to speak to me? Well, it's been a minute. I need to get back to you, God, because you ain't said nothing. You ain't Twittered. There's no Facebook. There's no email. There's nothing. I gave you your minute and stuff. So seeking God's face has to be something intentional, and it has to be disciplined. And if we're seeking God's face, what does he look like? How can I tell it's you, God? What you look like? Are you white? Are you black? Do you have long hair? Do you have no hair? What do you look like? Well, the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's in my quietness and my confidence that I'll seek God's face. And another way God reveals himself is in his word. then you think you could take more than 1 minute to get in his word to see who he is. Pastor Pat taught us from Luke the 9th chapter last week. And I don't know if you all heard those 5 steps of discipleship or if it stayed with you. I'm going to tell you what they are in a minute. But in that particular chapter, we see that he tells us to deny self, pick up our cross, and follow him. Do we do that daily? Because if we did that daily, we could also say, me too. Because there are some me too moments in our day. And you know what? We don't necessarily have to say the me too, but we have to know it in our minds. We don't have to have the same experience that everybody else has, but we know that we've had an experience that has separated us from God. And that because we believe in Jesus and who he is, we have been connected to God. So we know about the me too. That last portion is turn from my wicked ways. And I'm looking over the crowd and I don't see any wicked people. Well, maybe a couple. And of course, there's no mirror, so I could say that. I don't say, turn from your wicked ways. A lot of times we focus on the wicked ways of everybody else. Well, it's almost presidential election time. One's crooked and one's crazy. And one is just high. Y'all know Gary. Gary just high. One's crooked and one's crazy. God, what am I going to do? If you wanted me to vote, you would give us righteous people who all keep the Ten Commandments and stuff. And if you Google them, you wouldn't find a whole rap sheet on them. And boy, every time I see the news, it's this and that. Well, we don't need all the knowledge. We don't need all the facts. We need wisdom. Anybody read the Bible a little bit? Been in the Old Testament? There were more bad kings in Israel than there were good kings. But God used them all. He's in charge. And whoever we get on November the 5th, God will still be in charge. He'll still be in charge. But it tells us to look at our own wicked ways. And that's the part I don't like. I don't like that introspective part. Because I cannot seem to be unbiased. Anybody in here have that problem? Yeah. Because you know what? I'm not as bad as you, when it comes down to all the good things that I do and stuff. Wait a minute, Floyd. Wasn't the first thing that you said is be humble? Yeah. Wasn't the first thing, the second thing you said was pray? Yeah. Seek God's face. Well, how can you say I'm not as bad as anybody else? Maybe I'll just say, me too. I'm trying to seek God's face and I'm trying to turn from my wicked ways so I can find the wisdom of God in this thing. So we live in Los Alamos and we're kind of the smartest people in the county. And Los Alamos National Laboratory is the best national laboratory in the county. I know you say world class and all that stuff like that, but you live here in the county because everybody's good wherever they are. Ask them. Okay? So there's a lot of smart people here, and there's a lot of accumulation of knowledge. There's a lot of facts. and stuff. And son, my computer son, they say that our knowledge base doubles every 13 months. Just knowledge itself doubles every 13 months. So stuff that they learned in the 1900s has doubled and doubled and doubled and doubled to the ump power. And so there's not a lot of knowledge around, but there's very little wisdom. Because wisdom is the ability to take the knowledge that you have and use it wisely. And that's kind of why we have old folk around, kind of help you out a little bit. Son, don't ride your bike on the yellow line. Anybody get that? Son, just don't ride your bike on the yellow line. You don't need no data for that. You just need to understand that don't ride your bike on the yellow line. Baby, don't touch that because it's... Baby, don't touch that because it's... I'm going to tell you one more time. Baby, don't touch that because it's... Baby, why are you crying? Because it's hot. Okay, that's kind of wisdom. Because you can get all the knowledge, you can get all the facts that you want, but you need some wisdom. And in this time that we're in, we need God's wisdom. And James tells us, if we don't have wisdom, all you have to do is... Yeah. All right. All you got to do is ask, and God will give it. So then in 2 Corinthians, there is the then part. Then we will hear from heaven, he will forgive our sins, and he will heal our land. How does that look when you hear from heaven? How does that feel when you hear from heaven? Have you ever heard from heaven? Have you ever looked in God's word and God gave you the answer? You found the answer there. It was not on the news. It was not on the choice of candidates. It was his promise in his word that he would take care of you. I was thinking to myself, and I don't know if you could say this in church, so if you can't say it in church, don't start throwing chairs and stuff at me. Why would America keep on supporting Israel? Because it's in his word. It's in his word. Those that bless Israel will be. Oh, okay. Do you need any additional knowledge on that? You need some facts on that? It's the wisdom of God's word. It's just as simple as that. There is wisdom in God's word. There's some lines drawn in God's word. Now, in the support of Israel, it didn't say, now you all support Israel because they're always going to be good. They're always going to make good choices, and they want peace. It doesn't say that, because if you know anything about Israel, they'll bomb you and call you later. Hello? That's the Israel I'm talking about. If you know anything about Israel, they're really not a Christian nation like we are. They're still looking for the Messiah. And why would we support somebody who seems kind of opposite to us? Because one day we were that like that. Me too. And the promise is for Israel. And we kind of get the interest off of that because he says if we bless Israel, he will bless us. So hearing from heaven is hearing from God's word. And how does it feel when God has forgiven you? Or do you need forgiveness? Maybe that's the question. Well, all have and fallen short of the, you need it. You need it. And how does that feel? Well, for me, it feels like I get a second chance. It feels like somebody picked up the check for me. If you've ever had that experience, that you go pay for the check and somebody has done it, and the first thing you do is you look around so you can see who has blessed me so I can pay them back. Because nobody wants to owe anybody anything. Anything. Let's go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Let's start at the 10th verse. Ephesians 6:10. This is familiar also. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Does anybody not think that we live in an evil day? Don't identify yourself. I'm just going to assume that everybody might think that we live in an evil day. So on my way to church, at the time that I get to church, there's a family that goes to First Baptist Church. I know the family because they used to live next door to us. They were the Sorensons, and they had 6 kids. I live in a duplex. We share a wall. And there were 6 little kids that lived next to me. And the wall we share is the wall where we should be able to hang pictures. But with 6 little kids living next door to you, you can hang the pictures one time. I'm doing this because I'd still get nervous. Because them 6 kids, and you didn't know which one, and you were hoping that they all had birthdays and they would be 21 and they all leave at the same time. Because them 6 little kids, bum, 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 bum. So you just get a beat to it because it wasn't going away. 6 little kids. So one of those kids, I forget her name, and they come to Vacation Bible School here, because they're half of the Vacation Bible School, and to what's in October? Pumpkin Patch. They're half a Pumpkin Patch because there's 6 little kids. So you will see them like chickens by the golf course going up to First Baptist to Sunday school. And I just love that. I just love that. To see those little kids, grandkids now, going to Sunday school. How many times do people not come to church because they don't think that there are people in this place who have Me Too experiences? How long are we going to go through life separated by class, by color, by religious affiliation, and all we have to do is say, is Me Too? How many times and how often are we going to fight against each other just because of what we see? And not focus on what we don't see. So So this is really weird. I think Satan and all of his demons are like at Sandals or Club Med. You know why? Because we're killing each other. It's like, I don't need to dispatch anybody or anything on these people because they're just doing it themselves. Because they think they're fighting against each other. They don't understand the principalities and the powers and the wickedness and the evil day. But if they had done 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse, and begin to see those things, what would happen if we just did one of those things? If we walked out here humble, do you think your world would change? I didn't say the world. I just said your world. You think something would be different if you were just humble and you didn't have an opinion on everything, and that when you did speak, it was from God's word and not from you wanting to have your way? Do you think that would make a difference in your sphere of influence? Yes, Floyd, it would. Okay. Do you think if you prayed, you, then it would make a difference in your response to what's going on? Because your prayer would be predicated on what God is doing and what God has done and what God has said. Do you think that would make a difference? Yes, Floyd. What if you turn from your wicked ways? Not the things, not that you're doing anything that's public or something, but just those things that separate you from God. I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm going to help you a little bit. I have some things that separate me from God. I know. It surprises all of you. Y'all got that surprise look on your face. I know. I'm not perfect. I have things that separate me from God. What if I took time, not on Sunday morning, not on Monday night, not on Tuesday at 6:30, but all during my existence is to seek God's face. God, what do you want me to do? Because these people are driving me crazy. What do you want me to do? I am your vessel. What do you want me to do? Everybody driving me crazy. What do you want me to do? Well, Floyd, maybe you just should shut up and listen. God, that's not what I want to do. I just want to choke them and send them to you with a note. They're early. And then everything will be all right. Y'all understand what I'm saying? The whole thing would change. And that's because me too. I'm here in this mix with you. It's me too. It's me too to my neighbor that I don't like. It's me too to those 6 kids running up and down the stairs. It's me too to what I see on television that might influence me. It's me too to my culture. And it's really me too to my conviction. Because my conviction overrides my culture. Everybody in here should know that Jesus is coming back again. And it's not going to be pretty. And if you don't know that by now, you got previews of the coming attraction. But we're still here. And the Bible tells us to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. And he told one disciple who was pointing to somebody else, blah, 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 blah. He said, what is that to thee? Follow me. Do business until I come. So I want us to have some Me Too moments in our life where we can go to the person that we just met, or somebody who does not know Jesus, or somebody that we just don't know that does not know Jesus, And when we have a conversation with them, that we can find a point where we can say, you know, me too, I was lost. But I found the answer. And my answer is Jesus, who died for me. That might be an ancient word that we sung about, but it's still good. It's still rich. It still pays the price. That Jesus died for me. Me too. I know you look at me and you think that I'm okay, okie dokie, but I'm just not. Me too. I have my problems too. And if you'll let me tell you about Jesus, maybe you can find your answer too. Because I found my answer in him. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believed in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. And here I am. God, I need your wisdom every day to traverse this life and to find those me too moments so that you could use me and I could be salt and light wherever I am. Because Jesus hasn't, did you all know Jesus hasn't come yet? It's getting bad, but he hasn't come yet. So we have some more Me Too moments. We have some more opportunities to let our light shine and let him be real. Because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God, give us the wisdom that we need to get through all this stuff. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness to us. Thank you for those two scriptures, Ephesians, the sixth chapter, that tells us when we've done all we can do to stand, help us to stand, God, because we have sought your face. We've humbled ourselves. We've turned from our wicked ways, God, and we've sought who you are, and we see who you are in our life. Forgive our sins and heal our land. Cause us to be the people that you would have us to be. And you put that in the scriptures right after Solomon had prayed in the temple that you had caused him to build, that you had graced him to build. And the people said that they would do all that you said in your word. Cause us to remember that. We're to do all that you said in your word. And to remember that your grace has cause things to be sufficient in our life, that it's not because we know anything, but because it's the wisdom of God that we seek after. And as we leave this place today, be God in our life. Meet every need and meet us where we are, that we'll be able to say, me too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.